Madhava Jaya Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunjabi Hari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Giridhara Dari Jaya Giridhara Dari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Giridhara Dari Jaya Giridhara Dari Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunjabi Hari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.
Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Pristaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamne, Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Pashatya Deshikarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Garadara, Shiva Sadi Gaurabhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you for allowing me to serve the Srimad Bhagavatam today. Today we are doing third canto, third chapter, the Lord's pastimes out of Vrindavan, and text 24. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya, naram chaiva narottamam, devim sarasvatim vyasam, tato jayam udirayet, nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, nityam bhagavata sevaya, Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Puryam Kadachit Krida Bir Yadu Bhoja Kumarakai Kopita Munaya Shepur Bhagavan Mata Kovidaham Puryam Kadachit Kridabir Yadu Bhoja Kumarakai Kopita Munaya Shepur Bhagavan Mata Kovidaham. Please chant.
Puryam kadachit kridabir,
yadu bhoja
Synonyms. Puriam. In the city of Dwarka. Kadachit. Once upon a time. Kridabhi. By sporting activities. Yadu. The descendants of Yadu. Boja. The descendants of Boja. Kumarakai. Princes. Kopita. Became angry. Munaya, the great sages. Shepuhu, cursed. Bhagavat, the personality of Godhead. Mata, desire. Kuvidaha, cognizant. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Once upon a time, great sages were made angry by the sporting activities of the princely descendants of the Yadu and Boja dynasties. And thus, as desired by the Lord, the sages cursed them. Let's repeat. Once upon a time, great sages were made angry by the sporting activities of the princely descendants of the Yadu and Boja dynasties. And thus, as desired by the Lord, the sages cursed them. Purport. The associates of the Lord who were playing the part of princely descendants of the Yadu and Boja dynasties were not ordinary living entities. It is not possible that they could offend any saintly man or sage, nor could the sages who were all pure devotees of the Lord be influenced by anger by any of the sporting activities of the princes born in the holy dynasties of Yadu or Boja, wherein the Lord himself appeared as a descendant. The cursing of the princes by the sages was another transcendental pastime of the Lord to make a show of anger. So this is referring to the curse that was brought upon the young Yadu princes, who for some reason, as arranged by the Lord, came into an assembly of sages headed by Narada Muni, who were performing some sacrifices outside of Dwarka. And they proceeded to offend the sages by dressing Samba in the garb of a woman and presenting him in the garb of a woman in front of the sages in a mocking way. And the sages proceeded to curse the young Yadus for their sporting activities. And as a result, there appeared an iron club. And as most of you probably know, this iron club, as a result of the curse, helped to bring about the destruction of the Yadu dynasty a little bit later on. So this curse was sort of the beginning of the ending pastimes of the Lord as he was preparing to leave the planet. So it sort of starts with this curse on the young Yadu princes. The cursing of the princes by the sages was another transcendental pastime of the Lord to make a show of anger. The princes were cursed in order that one may know that even the descendants of the Lord, who could never be vanquished by any act of material nature, were subjected to the reactions of anger by great devotees of the Lord. One should therefore take great care and attention not to commit an offense at the feet of the Lord, at the feet of a devotee of the Lord. So according to our acharyas, the point of this pastime, this inconceivable pastime, as it's stated in the purport, like the descendants of the Yadu dynasties, the princes were, it's impossible for them to offend sages because they were all associates of the Lord and they were perfectly versed in Brahminical culture and they wouldn't dare exhibit such mocking behavior, and then as a result get a curse, which would be the beginning of the end for the Yadu dynasty on this planet. So according to our acharyas, this was Krishna's arrangement to, it's twofold, to withdraw his family from the earth, because the Yadus were too strong. Nobody could conquer the Yadus. Nobody could overcome them or fend them or kill them. So somehow he had to make an arrangement for that to happen within themselves. So one point of this pastime was because he wanted to withdraw the Yadus from the earth. And another one was to show the destructive influence of offending Brahmanas or Vaishnavas, or as we know, Vaishnava Aparad. So according to our Acharyas, those are the two sort of main reasons for this pastime. So in terms of the first point, which was Krishna wanted to withdraw the dynasty from this planet, the Yadu dynasty, in the 11th chapter, Maharaj Pariksit inquires, or Shukadeva Goswami says to Maharaj Pariksit, when the Supreme Almighty Lord, whose desire always comes to pass, had thus made up his mind, he withdrew his own family on the pretext of a curse spoken by an assembly of Brahmanas. Krishna had originally requested all of his associates, along with the demigods, to appear on the earth to assist him in his pastimes. Now that his pastimes were coming to an end on this particular planet and would be transferred to another planet in another universe, Krishna wanted to remove all of his associates from the earth so that in his absence they would not constitute a burden. Lord Krishna thought, no outside force could ever bring about the defeat of this family, the Yadu dynasty, whose members have always been fully surrendered to me and are unrestricted in their opulence. So Krishna thought, nobody can defeat the Yadus. So therefore, I have to make an arrangement for this to happen. Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that no one within this universe was capable of even insulting the members of the Yadu dynasty. What to speak of defeating or killing them? The reason is given here by the words, Mad Samshrayasya, the members of the Yadu dynasty had fully taken shelter of Krishna, and therefore they were always under the personal protection of the Lord. And as we know, Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke, if Krishna protects someone, no one can kill him, and if Krishna wants to kill someone, no one can save him. So that's the reason Krishna had to arrange the fighting within themselves, so they can withdraw themselves from the planet. Nobody else could do it. And then further, Maharaj Pariksit inquires, but how could the Brahmanas curse the Rishnis? They were always respectful to the Brahmanas, charitable and inclined to serve senior and exalted personalities, and their minds were always fully absorbed in thought of Lord Krishna. And Brahmanas are one of those classes of people who one cannot insult or mock because they will get a reaction. Brahmanas generally become angry at persons who disrespect the Brahminical class, who are uncharitable and who decline to serve senior, respectable personalities. The Rishnis, however, were not like that, and thus they are described as Brahmanyanam, or sincere followers of Brahminical culture. And they're also Krishna Chaitasam, always absorbed in thinking of Krishna. It's clearly indicated that Krishna desired that the Brahmanas become angry and curse the Yadu dynasty. The Supreme Lord desired to remove his personal dynasty from the earth, and therefore, uncustomary offensive behavior was exhibited by the young boys of Krishna's own family. Jiva Goswami confirms that the lack of humility shown by the sons of the Yadu dynasty was an arrangement by the Lord himself. In other words, the members of the Yadu dynasty are ultimately associates of Lord Krishna, and to facilitate the instructive pastimes of the Lord, they acted in apparently unethical ways. So they exhibited uncustomary offensive behavior, and they acted in apparently unethical ways, because otherwise they were perfect, to bring about some pastime of the Lord. Can anyone think of any other examples where some very exalted personality acts in an uncustomary, offensive way to bring about some desire of the Lord? Yes. 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 Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Is that what you were going to say also? For King like Maharaj Parikshit to become angry and envious, especially at a sage and brahmana, was undoubtedly unprecedented. The king was right to punish a subject for coldly receiving him or neglecting him, but because the culprit was a sage and a brahmana, it was unprecedented. The only justification for Maharaj Parikshit's behavior is that it was ordained by the Lord. And then, as we know, he also becomes cursed in the Bhagavatam is spoken in 7 days. And
Chitrantha criticized Lord Shiva for Parvati was sitting on his lap, so he made some comment that was.
Thank you. Thank you, yes. So otherwise, these exalted personalities would not behave in such a way. They know better, but somehow, to bring about some pastime, Krishna inspires them to act a certain way. So then another point of this pastime, of the Yadu Kumaras mocking the sages, of the assembly of sages, was Krishna wanted to show that the dangers of Vaishnava aparad. Yadus were perfectly trained, civilized persons. This is from third canto. And their being cursed by the Brahmana sages was only by the desire of the Lord. The whole incident was a warning to all concerned that no one should behave lightly with Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. So as I mentioned in the beginning, they dressed Samba in the garb of a woman, the young Yadu princess, and they presented him, and it's like such a silly pastime, they presented him in front of this assembly of sages, and they asked the sages in a mocking way, "Oh, sages, can you tell us, is this beautiful black-eyed maiden going to have a boy or a girl?" And the sages became angry, and they said, "No, actually, it's not going to be a boy or a girl, it's going to be an iron club. And this club will be destroy your entire dynasty." That's how they get cursed. Upon hearing the curse of the sages, the terrified boys quickly uncovered the belly of Samba, and indeed they observed that therein was an iron club. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, "The impudent behavior of the young Yadus toward the sages headed by Narada, who were all brahmanas and devotees of the Lord, was a display of deviation from the path of Lord Krishna." He also says, and we'll get into that a little bit later, is also a precursor to the offensive behavior of Sakhi Beka, which is all those deviant sects that they dress as like males that dress as gopis. It's also a form of aparad, and he says that that is also a precursor to that practice. We'll get into Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. We'll get into that a little bit later if there's time. By trying to mock the saintly assembly and causing this Vaishnava aparad, Krishna wanted to teach that this aparad would be the cause of the Yadu dynasty destruction, all a part of his lila. So as we know, this Vaishnava aparad is very dangerous, and Lord Chaitanya has called it the mad elephant offense. When a mad elephant enters a garden, it spoils all the fruits and flowers, and it spoils all of one's spiritual assets. It's number one and Nama Parad as well. So when Lord Chaitanya is instructing Rupa Goswami at Prayag, he talks about this mad elephant offense. Yadi Vaishnava Aparada Utehati Mata Upadeva Chindetara Shukiyaya Pata. If the devotee commits an offense at the feet of a Vaishnava, while cultivating the creeper of devotional service in the material world, His offense is compared to a mad elephant that uproots the creeper and breaks it. In this way, the leaves of the creeper are dried up. From the fifth canto, Maharaj Rahugana to Jad Bharat. My dear sir, I am not at all afraid of the thunderbolt of King Indra, nor am I afraid of the serpentine, piercing triton of Lord Shiva. I do not care about the punishment of Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, nor am I afraid of fire, scorching sun, moon, wind, nor the weapons of Kuvera, yet I am afraid of offending a brahmana. I am very much afraid of this. And then from the seventh canto, when Hiranyakashipu teases the great devotee Prahlad, his own son, who is peaceful and sober and who has no enemy, I shall kill Hiranyakashipu immediately, despite the benediction of Brahma. So some effects of Vaishnava Aparadha. When one exhibits envy and ridicule of a devotee of Vishnu, his brahmanyata, or high spiritual qualifications, along with his reverence for Krishna, are all destroyed. Contempt or ridicule directed toward respectable persons and true brahmanas vanquish all good qualities. If there is a break in etiquette toward his devotees, the Supreme Lord will become ill-disposed, even to his own relatives and friends, and thus arrange to destroy those who oppose his devotees. Okay, so I'll pause there a little bit, see if there anybody wants to add to anything so far. Otherwise, I have a few more points. We said that this pastime of the Yadakumaras offending the sages, yes, offending the sages was, and then being cursed was one. Krishna wanted to withdraw the Yadus from the earth, and so he arranged for this iron club to appear in Sambha's belly. And it's another pastime a little bit later on. This iron club brings about the destruction of the Yadu dynasty, helps to bring it about. And then also warning against the dangers of Vaishnava Aparadha. Yes?
How is it that if the Yadus were to remain on the planet, that it would be considered a burden?
Yes, nice question. I also looked that up. It says because they were too strong. They were too strong for this planet.
Just their...
their strength, yes, and nobody could defeat them. And it was just... It was like a burden of strength. I looked that up as well.
Mm-hmm. Also, you had just read the effects of Vaishnava Aparadha. And one was that it, if one is, like the very first one, about envy and, can you reread that?
Okay. When one displays envy and ridicule of devotees of Vishnu, his brahmanyata, or high spiritual qualifications, along with his reverence for Krishna, are all destroyed.
Displays envy. I mean, our condition is such that the envy is really the issue.
Yes.
That keeps us here.
It's the currency in the material world.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Really. So how can one be without envy, as long as, I mean, they're on the path, but displaying envy might be different than just having that envy in your heart and thinking, maybe something envious about something.
Yes, I definitely think that there's a distinction between those two things.
Oh, okay.
We can feel envy in the heart, but then how do we behave out of that? Or
okay. Do you take it to the extent of verbalizing or acting?
Yes, right. Okay. That's the aparad. Because I believe like in Kali Yuga, we can't actually make aparad with only our thoughts.
Awesome.
But we do have to guard our thoughts because they can manifest in like external ways. So yeah, I think if the envy comes up in the heart or the mind, we have to try to change that within ourselves. And then I don't think that would be an aparad. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the other war is what?
It was Narad, Vishwamitra, and Kanva. And they addressed Sambha, they said, this wife of Babu is pregnant. This wife of Babu is pregnant. Tell us truly what child will he get? And the sages, they could definitely see through what's going on. They said, yes, you know, he will get a mace that will destroy the whole dynasty.
Yes. Yeah. It's not going to be a boy or a girl.
So, right? Yeah, yeah. So, you know, but the sages, the point is they could see their vanity, you know, they could see the ridicule, you know.
Yes.
And to teach them a lesson, you know. Yeah, but like, you know, earlier you read that Lord Krishna wanted this to happen so that the Yadus could go back to the heavenly planets. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Yes, it said it's inconceivable that they would display such behavior because they were all perfect followers of Brahminical culture. And so they knew to not offend sages. So yes, Krishna arranged for this uncustomary, offensive behavior, as it's called, to happen. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's mentioned that there's different kinds of burdens. There's burden of love also. That's that with the Yadu dynasty was a burden of love, just like the father works very hard to provide for his family, as described.
That's a nice point.
That's
yes.
A burden of love.
He didn't want them to stay on this place without him. Yes. Yes.
When it is said that you have to be very careful of offending Brahmins, does that include even the Brahmins who are just Brahmins by birth? Or Brahmin that they think they are Brahmins in any other sort of sources?
No, we're specifically talking about like Vaishnava aparad, and specifically like offending a pure Vaishnava is very bad. In this case, these Brahmanas were like pure Vaishnavas, but also, so it does depend on like the level of purity of whom we offend, but there is also like jiva aparad, so we should not commit aparad to any jivas, and we will get it. We could also get a reaction for that. So specifically, if it's an exalted personality or a pure devotee, that's going to be, you know, very bad. Mm-hmm. But we should not commit aparad to anyone, to any jiva, not animals or any jiva.
Yeah. I'll give you an example. Okay. One day, my husband brought some food from a Hindu mission temple, and I wasn't sure that was offered in a bona fide way. So I said, maybe it's better, you know, we offer it again. And he said to me, that's an aparad to a Brahmin. So I was very bewildered. Did I really did? I wasn't really sure that was prasad, you see?
No, it was just like Brahmanas from like some other like impersonalist path. Is that what you're saying? Like some.
Well, I don't know their frame of mind, but they have all the deities on the altar, you know, the demigods, and Krishna's there also. So I was just wondering, you know, if it was done in the proper way that it becomes prasad.
Yeah, I don't think there is. Personally, don't think there's offense to that. Maybe somebody can speak on that more authoritatively. If you were not sure that was from like a Vaishnava temple or who the Brahmanas were, and just to sort of offer it again. We should also be careful not to take food from like impersonalists. That could also not be good. To offer, I don't think if you weren't sure like who was offering it, I don't think it was offensive to like offer it again in your mind. Does anybody have anything more authoritative on that?
What type of temple is it?
Yeah, what type of temple was it?
It was a Hindu.
A Hindu temple.
Yeah, so.
That's like the offer to the Hindu was something, you know, so that's.
They're more like Mayavadis, basically, because they. the mood that they worship Krishna in is sort of like not proper at all. So I don't know, it's probably like best not to take food from that, such a place. If we refuse their prasad? No, not at all. I don't think so. No. It's like we shouldn't take prasad from like food from questionable sources, and because their mood of worship is not bona fide, we should not take their food at all.
I mean, you could take it, but not immediately, you know. Just not, you know, like if the Hindus, they are generally well wishes of the devotees. You are something.
Yeah, that's a good point. So they're sort of giving it to you as a gift, so you just take it, but then you don't, as a Vaishnava, we don't consider their path bona fide, so therefore we do not eat it. Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Yes?
The consciousness.
Yes, the consciousness of the person cooking it, preparing it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's why we don't eat out in restaurants.
Right.
So we have to be careful.
Well, especially because they worship in an offensive way, so we don't want to take that food. Anything else? Okay, I have a few more points if you're interested in that. Okay. So then what did the Yadu boys try to do once they realized that they had made an offense? They tried to cover it up so that the curse would go away. They went to the court of Maharaj Ugrasen and he said, let's just take this club and let's grind it up and throw it into the ocean and hopefully the curse will go away. And what happened? Can anyone say what happened? They did that and it didn't work. Yes, there was a fish in the ocean that swallowed an iron lump from the iron club. And that lump, a fisherman later caught that fish and he fashioned an arrow out of that iron lump, and that was the hunter Jara, who, well, as we know, we don't really discuss that, but he shot that arrow at Krishna, and then also all the ground up bits of the iron club that were thrown in the ocean were washed up onto the shore, and they grew into canes, and later on, when the Yadus turned against themselves, those canes became like well, iron clubs, and they use those to basically take themselves off the planet. So they're trying to conceal it, but it didn't work. They were unable to protect their family from the reaction of their grievous offense against the devotees of the Lord. The other boys were wary about jeopardizing their advanced position, and indeed had been thinking that as long as they kept their trickery concealed, others would never be able to detect such sophisticated cheating. Nonetheless, they were unable to avoid the grievous offense. And just a little fun, kind of mundane example. There's a British novel written in the late 19th century, and it was about this young aristocrat who had a portrait painted of himself, and he wanted to live this life of like sin and debauchery and like libertine lifestyle. He just wanted to be able, he had this like desire that he could like lead this life, but all the sins and all the like ugliness of his sins would be taken on by this portrait of himself and not him. So somehow he got this boon and his like wish was granted, and he kept this portrait of him locked away, and every time he would commit some like sin or debauchery, he would remain like perfect looking and young and like, you know, good looking, and the portrait would take all the effects of the sins, and he kept the portrait locked away, and he was living like that for 18 years. And then eventually, so he was trying to like hide the effects of his sins, basically, was the point of that. But ultimately, even that catches up with him. But he was able to do it for 18 years. But ultimately, he couldn't take it anymore. Every time we look at the portrait would become like more horrifying and more hideous. And eventually, he just can't take it, and he tries to like stab the portrait and just get rid of the whole thing. And then it turns out, like, he stabs the portrait becomes like his young, perfect version of himself, and he ends up like killing himself. So, just a little mundane. It's a novel, 19th century novel. It's called The Portrait of Dorian Gray. Just the point of like, he was like trying to hide his sins, and the portrait was like taking the sins. There is a crash, and his servants enter to find the portrait unharmed, showing Dorian Gray as a beautiful young man. On the floor lies the body of their master, an old man, horribly wrinkled and disfigured, with a knife plunged into his heart. So he tried to kill the portrait, but somehow ended up killing himself, and the portrait remained unaltered. Just a fun little aside. Okay, so in the 11th canto, it said that Krishna, as we know, Krishna comes here to reestablish principles of Dharma. And so with this pastime, he was trying to show that the principle, how important is the principle of serving the pure devotees and not offending, is so essential for our spiritual advancement, that the Lord exhibited the inconceivable pastime of causing the destruction of the entire dynasty just to impress this point upon the conditioned souls of Kali Yuga. That's from the 11th canto, 11.1.24. So this pastime of offending was going to take the Yadu dynasty from the earth. So he wanted to show us that that is a very, very important principle, to not make offenses to the Vaishnavas. Due to the living entity's perverted tendency to exploit the entire world for his sense gratification, the living entity is also prone to try to pervert the principles of spiritual life so that the eternal religious principles become appropriate to his own material sense gratification. That was a good point. Due to his perverted tendency to exploit the entire world for his sense gratification, the living entity is also prone to try to pervert the principles of spiritual life so that the eternal religious principles become appropriate to his own material sense gratification. Religion, however, is meant for pleasing the Supreme Lord by obeying his laws. And therefore, Lord Krishna himself personally comes from time to time to revive and enliven the correct method of devotional service to his lotus feet. And then just like one last point, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has said that this pastime of when they dress samba in the garb of a woman represents, it was like a precursor to the aparad of Saki Beka, which is men dressing as gopis and pretending to be on the highest level of devotion, being interested in those pastimes of Madhurya Ras between Krishna and the gopis, without actually following religious principles or Vaishnava principles. So he said that this pastime is also a precursor to that, Saki Beka. They declared they are in a high stage of devotion and therefore concerned only with the most intimate affairs of Madhurya Leela as exhibited in Vrindavan. Sometimes they even dress as gopis, making a false show of entering into the pastime of Krishna without actually following the standard regulations. By this incident concerning the iron club from the so-called womb of Samba, Lord Krishna himself taught the dangerous results of such pseudo-devotion. Samba is a personal associate of the Lord, but acting as a harbinger of the future misfortune to be created in Kali Yuga by bogus followers of Lord Chaitanya, Samba displayed this didactic pastime to help the living entities be blessed on the correct path of devotional service. I was wondering if anyone knows if that still goes on, like is there still like Sakibeka cults where they dress as men as gopis. And
yeah, sure.
That still goes on. What's that? Like in India? In India? In India? Well, he says, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says that it is like Vaishnava Parad.
Oh, you mean to address a guy like that?
Yes, to pretend to be a gopi, yes, is Vaishnava Parad.
There's some cross-dressers that are not trying to imitate
the gopis. Yeah, because that's sort of more accepted nowadays. Right, that's a different thing, right? That's offensive in a different way. Okay, in India? Sakibeka.
Teaching from this pastime is that that Krishna had his dynasty removed from the world just to show that someone doesn't have some kind of birthright for being receptacle of the Lord's mercy like that. There's a class of persons that are claiming to be descendants of Nityananda and Advaita, but they're by birth, that's not qualification for.
Oh yes, I'd read about that as well. Just because they have that birth, but they're not following any principles or acting appropriately, they can also be discarded from that lineage. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
These Jodhu Bhamsa Bhamsa, the whole pastime called Jodhu Bhamsa Bhamsa. These associates that you are meriting, they are not actually eternal associates of Krishna.
Yes, there's actually two classes, right?
No, these are extension of demigod who join in the
right.
They have to go back to demigod. Having, you know.
Well, those other ones went to Dwaraka. Those other ones went back to Dwaraka, right?
No, they remain in Dwaraka. This pastime took place not in Dwarka, it's in Prabhas.
Prabhas, right. But those Prabhas. Other ones never went to Prabhas.
They went to Prabhas.
The eternal associates never went to Prabhas.
The eternal associates stayed in Dwarka.
Right.
And became invisible. And the demigod expansion, they are the one. They look like Jodhu Bhamsa, the dynasty of Jodhu. They went to Prabhas and the whole episode took place. Just to liberate them, get them back to the demigod place.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Grant Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.